Good morning. Take your Bible and turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 25. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 25. We're left off here. Ran out of time yesterday. Spent a good bit of time in review, and as a result, we didn't get far enough down through here for this to tie together. So I'll start once again with verse 25. Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. Now, concerning a specific segment of the church family, unmarried women, whether they are young women who have never been married, virgins, or single women who have, for whatever reason, they are single. But in particular here, he mentions virgins. And you'll see here how this overlaps with the idea of single women, women who may be widows for one reason or another, find themselves alone, as in comparison here to virgins. In both cases, they are without a mate. Now, concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord. Jesus had not specified anything specifically in this direction as touching this particular type of period of persecution. Yet I give my judgment as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. This judgment, he says, is faithful. It is consistent with the rest of what the Scripture has to say. Now, lest somebody should say, oh, now, wait a minute. If the Lord didn't say anything about this, then what you have here is Paul's opinion, and therefore is not really authoritative. Well, I suppose there are those who would take that position. However, I want you to note something. Because it is in the Scripture, because God saw fit to include it in the canon of Scripture, it also falls under the heading of that which is inspired by God. Paul did not have any straightly charged words from the Lord. At the same time, what he says here is directed by the Lord. Now, I suppose, therefore, verse 26, that this is good for the present distress, I say, that it's good for man so to be. Now, you'll notice he says man, but he's been talking about virgins. In our culture today, the idea of a virgin is something that people snicker about. Virginity is a condition to be rid of as quickly as possible before anybody can figure out that you might be sexually pure. Now, that sounds a little tongue-in-cheek, and certainly I mean it to be that way. He says here, I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress. He's speaking about the necessity, the persecution. The fact is that during that period of time, you never knew when you're going to have to run for your life, have to go underground or whatever. The more family that a man had responsibility for, the more obligation he had to take care of a wife and children and perhaps parents, older parents, and maybe older in-laws. The more of these obligations he had, the more difficult it would be for him to provide security for these dependents. He said, it'd be good for a man just to stay single if he is. Now, as I mentioned here, virgins normally are being considered as young unmarried women. And in the context here, for the most part, it leans that way. I simply point out that because he shifts here, that it's good for a man so to be. Virginity is not something that is the domain merely of unmarried women. Young men, young women, as they grow, reach puberty, reach sexual maturity, the idea of waiting till marriage to engage in sex is something that has been ridiculed, something that has by peer pressure been made some sort of a character flaw or something. A young man who is a virgin has something to offer a young wife who is also a virgin. The fact that there is purity here, the fact that they contained and restrained themselves from giving in to situations that were sexual in orientation, that are driven by lust, selfish desire. Now here, he said, it is good for a man so to be, that is, single. Art thou bound to a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. Why? Again, because of this persecution. Not because there's something wrong with marriage, or you're more spiritual if you avoid matrimony. That has nothing to do with this. But, and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh. But I spare you. I don't want to really go into it. I'm not trying to lay a guilt trip on you. I'm not trying to say, whoa, you're going to have all sorts of trouble. He says, I spare you. But this I say, brethren, time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoiced not, and they that buy as though they possessed not, and they that use this world as not abusing it. For the fashion of this world passeth away. Now, verse 29 and through 31, rather lengthy sentence. However, let me just kind of summarize it like this. Time is getting short, both in terms of the freedom and the security that these believers have had. Time's coming when they're not going to have it. And those who have wives as though they had none, and those that weep as the circumstances are going to become so chaotic that the relationships and the causes for emotional, the expression of emotions, things are going to be so hectic and so chaotic, so much commotion, it'll be as though none of that even exists. He says, for the fashion of this world passeth away. Now the fashion, the Greek word has the idea behind it here, as it's translated fashion into the English, the idea of the temporary, the non-lasting structure of the world is passing away. Culture changes, civilizations change, persecution passes off the scene, period of peace is swallowed up by turmoil. It just goes. Now, you'll notice something. As he's talking about this, you almost see the necessity for having an anchor that keeps you secure in spite of all of the chaos and turmoil that society can bring about, that a situation can flood in over you with. As you move on to verse 32, but I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please him. He that is married careth for the things of the world, how he may please his wife. Now, is he saying here that there's something wrong with this? What you'll find as you move down through these verses and the rest of the passage, for the next few verses here, you will find that if a person who loved the Lord was single, he could give himself without distraction to the cause of Christ in terms of witnessing, in terms of giving aid to other people, in terms of giving time to prayer, being a person who is solely and completely dedicated to the cause of Christ. On the other hand, a man who is married, instead of being able to concentrate solely on the things of the Lord, has an obligation to take care of his wife. Now, when it says here he careth for the things of the world, that doesn't mean that he's in love with it. It doesn't mean he is swept up in materialism, but rather you'll notice it says how he may please his wife. And as you go on to verse 34, the other side is given here. There is a difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. You will notice that both the husband and the wife are expected to be concerned about pleasing each other. It's not one way. I think sometimes when people don't have a biblical balance on the understanding what the Bible says about the relationship between husband and wife, they view the doctrine of submission of a wife to her husband, as though the husband he's the big cheese, he's the head boss, and everything goes the way he wants it. That's not what the Bible says. As a matter of fact, in the passage there in Ephesians in chapter 5 that speaks about submission, leads off, let us be in submission one to the other. And then he speaks specifically to the submission of a wife to her husband, of the husband to the Lord, of children to the parents, of servants to the master. We took it a little further when we went through Ephesians. The idea of the submission of an employee to an employer. Now, you'll notice here that the responsibility to please the wife, the responsibility to please the husband, is right here. But the very fact that they are concerned about these things is taking away time and attention that could be by the single individual devoted to the service of God. I speak this, he says in verse 35, for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you or throw a noose around your neck to make you do a command. For, he says, for this I speak for your own profit, not that I would cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction. He's not saying there's anything wrong with being single. He's not saying there's anything wrong with being married. If you go back to verse 24, he said, brethren, let every man wherein he is called therein abide. If he's single, stay single, at least until this persecution passes. If you're married, stay married. Don't try to say, well, it'd be easier on everybody if we weren't married. We'll just break this marriage up. No, stay where you are. Stay in the marital situation that you're in, okay? Now, he says, but for that which is comely, that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction. Now, by inference, you can see here that a wife would be a distraction from a man's giving himself 100% to the Lord, and the husband would be, in a sense, a distraction for the wife from the things of the Lord. Now, it need not be that way, and certainly not to the point of a detriment, but because of the persecution, it was a distraction. Okay? But if any man think that he behaveth himself uncomely toward his virgin, now, here's a man who has an unmarried daughter. If she pass the flower of her age, in other words, she's getting an age where she should be married, and need so require, let him do what he will, he sinneth not, let them marry. Let the man and this young woman who love each other, let them go ahead and marry. There's nothing wrong with that. Nevertheless, he that standeth steadfast in his heart hath no necessity. Well, I just glanced at the clock and got to stop. We'll come back to this tomorrow. I hope you'll join me then as we see what the Bible says.